Hi, my name is Charles, and I serve here at Transformation Church as one of the executive pastors. And I want to take a moment before we jump into the message just to say thank you, first of all, for watching. It means the world to us that you would be a part, no matter where you're watching from, no matter who you are. I'm believing that this message is going to encourage your faith and hopefully transform your life. If you haven't yet, make sure you take a moment, subscribe to the YouTube channel, not for us, but really for you. We want to be a resource to encourage your faith and be with you on this journey of following Jesus. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the message today. I hope it blesses you.
So we are in a series called Cuffing Season, and today is week 11. If you're excited about the Word of God today, would you make some noise in the building? Hey, listen, I feel like I have a mandate from God. Like God woke me up this morning to speak this message. And there has been opposition since I decided this was going to be the message. Okay. So last week we talked about being cuffed to control. How many control freaks is out here? Come on. We live a hot, humble, open, and transparent. He's like, woo. God don't want you to be that no more. Let me be very clear with you. This whole cuffing series is a series to help you get delivered. Everybody say deliverance. God doesn't want you to stay the way you are. And I know society today is like, love yourself. Be you. Yeah, I understand that to a point where it's positive in your life. But sometimes being you ain't good. Uh-oh. Sometimes the things you do, how many people know they have some traits in their life that they would not want replicated in their children? Uh-oh. That's how you know if it's good or not. How you telling your kids, don't do what I do. Do what I say. What kind of ignoramus statement is that? I'm watching you. You're my model. And you're telling me, don't do what you do. Do what you say. This is how backwards many of us are, because we do not want to take the time to actually deal with the deliverance that we need. It's too ugly. It's too far back. I would have to address issues I have with people who are no longer living. Some of y'all mad at parents that aren't here no more. Uh-oh. It's getting quiet in here. You're frustrated at people who haven't been in your life for years. And God's saying for you to actually get over or move past that thing, we're going to have to deal with it. Deliverance makes you have to deal with it. You may not even talk to them anymore, but you got to deal with what it left you with. It may not have been your fault, but it is now your responsibility. And this is why everybody comes to church and is like, hype me up. Make me feel good. Give me enough sedative to let me go back out here and live like everything's cool. Let me just have a little inebriation of the anointing so I can make it through another week. And God said, you ain't got to live like that. Somebody said, I ain't got to live like that. You can be, everybody say, delivered. That means we got to talk about what you're cuffed to. And last week, we talked about a big one that some of y'all are still not even trying to digest. A lot of people are cuffed to being in control. And everybody around you sees it but you. Like, that ain't me. That ain't me. And everybody, if you ask them, the people that love you, they're not going to say it with you in the room because they know if they actually say the truth. Okay. One of the ways you know that you're always in the control of the situation is people won't tell you the truth when you're around. Like if, and you don't really notice until after the fact, but a lot of people who control and manipulate situations, who are cuffed to it, they always find out stuff after the fact because nobody feels close enough to them to tell them the truth in the moment. Without being manipulated, turned out, or disciplined, punished, or scolded. Parents, let me come to you that the way you might have been parented may be creating separation between you and your children, not closeness. And a lot of the issues that they're going to deal with later on in their life is because they had no one to actually come to with their issue or their pain. They had somebody would punish them if they actually told them what they needed help being delivered from. Pin drops. I counsel so many people right now. It's like, have you told your parents?
Oh, hell no.
No. This is their reaction to me. Like the person who bathed you, birthed you, provided for you, wouldn't tell them.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's be honest in here. If you're not sitting next to your parents. If you're sitting next to your parents, just look directly at Pastor Mike. Don't even look. How many people did not go to their parents when they actually needed them in their adolescence life? Come on, listen, hands. Dang, that's over 70, 80% of the room. And if your parents ever found out about it, they'd be like, oh, why wouldn't you have come to me? I would have been so understanding. Yeah, they say that when you're 35. But when you was 14? Oh my God. What year is it? All I'm telling you is that God is not like that. He desires for you to bring your dysfunction to him. And many times because of how we have been controlled or manipulated in our physical families, we think God is trying to do the same thing to us. So if we tell him that I actually am lusting after that person, or I have a bend towards this perversion, or I lie a lot. I don't know why I just told him I was drinking coffee. I'm allergic to coffee. I'm drinking tea. But they said, are you drinking coffee? And they like coffee, so I just lied. Yes. I mean, most lies are just dumb. But if we bring that to God, he is faithful to help us through those situations. Yeah. So the enemy's whole job is to keep you confused about who's actually in control. And make you think that you taking control, you covering up yourself, you taking matters into your own hand is the best way to handle things. When God said, you don't even know how to do nothing anyway. Come to me. Think about it. Adam and Eve in the garden. I am fully convinced that if Adam and Eve would have ate the fruit and been like, Daddy, God. Daddy. I messed up. I did exactly opposite of what you told me to do. There would have been grace and mercy for him, for them. But what did they do? Could you sew me a bikini top, please? And what did they start doing? They hid. They started covering up their vulnerable places instead of bringing their vulnerable places to God. And I know you think I'm talking about Bible characters. I'm talking about you. That many of us are cuffed to things that God's saying, would you just bring it to me? So when I started thinking about, all right, how do we keep going? I literally read the definition of cuffing season again. Write this down if you haven't heard it yet. Cuffing season is a season where, because of loneliness and desperation, you settle for a relationship that is way beneath the standard. Because of your own feelings, you settle for something. Okay, let me bring it down out of relationships right now, because for some of y'all, that's too deep. Have you ever been so hungry you ate crap you didn't like? I mean, there's certain places like I hate going to, but it seems like those are the places that are always open after 10 p.m. And if you ever catch yourself in a late night hooping session, or you had to work late and you're on your way home and you're like, let me get something to eat. It's like Taco Bell. I had to say it. There's not been one time I ate Taco Bell that it was like good to me the next day. That moment, sometimes it hit the spot, like it rang the bell. But the next day, what would happen if in every area of your life you were settling like that because you felt like there was no better option? So now you become accustomed to what God never even wanted you to have an appetite for. Ooh, that's nasty. Many of us are craving and want what God never even wanted us to have an appetite for. And that's why I have to talk to you about being cuffed to control again with a twist. Because as soon as I got done, I was like, cuffed to control, yeah, we don't need control. We need to be close. You can give us peace. I was like, yeah. Got in the shower and the Holy Spirit said, I got more. And I was like, what you mean, God? He said, most people think control, listen up, is something that people who have a certain personality or boisterousness about them have. Control is loud, demonstrative. Control is somebody who comes in with this attitude and give me control. I'm the boss. Like it's this big, strong, overt, loud, dominating, obvious thing. But God said some of the most toxic control is secret and covert. It's not overt control, it's covert control. And today I have to address everybody in this room who is dealing in covert control. Let me explain it to you. You ever met somebody who ain't obviously in charge, but they always around the people who in charge? And somehow they always got the ear of the person that actually is the person. Have you ever known somebody that says a whole bunch without saying nothing? How was the movie? That's not a, what you know about Troy? Okay. Okay? What? Like, they're not gonna tell you nothing. But their presence or lack of it is used to manipulate and control and convert. I'm coming for y'all. Y'all quiet people that I don't be saying nothing. You be saying a whole bunch. Many people use their presence as a means to let people know whether to be attached to something or not. Y'all can go if y'all want to. No, because they've learned that it's more powerful than for them to leave mystery, to leave it up in the air, to not let you know how they're actually feeling and bring clarity to something, but actually leave you confused about it. And that's how they're able to manipulate, control, and dominate situations. It starts as children. Eat your food. I don't really want to eat it. Mommy, Daddy said I gotta eat the food. Well, you can do it if you want to. My dad just said to eat the food. My mama said eat the food if you want to, and then something's going on here. Daddy, do I have to eat all of it? Eat all the food. Mom, Daddy said I have to eat all the food. Well, your daddy don't eat all his vegetables. I'm just showing you, just a little. Daddy, do I have to eat all the vegetables? Yes, eat all. But mama said, you don't be eating all your vegetables. Now watch. This little child has now figured out the whole time. Now mom and daddy arguing. I know you ain't tell that girl I didn't eat my broccoli. And you're like, boy, stop talking to me. You didn't get home until 7:30 last night. And you told me you was going to be here at 5. Girl, I was working for our family. And now guess what's not getting eaten? This small, maybe not real example for you is how we begin to learn to manipulate, control, and be covert in these spiritual matters, because it's actually spirit. I'm going to talk about it in just a second. That begin to try and take people from where they're supposed to be to a place that is toxic. And what it really is, it's the spirit of, watch this, contamination. So I don't have to be in control if I can just contaminate your thoughts. I don't even really have to know all the information if I can make you doubt it a little bit. And this is an area of the church and God's people that we act like ain't nothing, but it is literally holding people back from their calling because we have been dabbling in the Christianity of contamination. I'm telling you, it's happening everywhere, and you think it's innocent, but it's polluting people's purpose because of the little things that you say and the little things you do. So today I gotta talk to everybody who's cuffed to contamination. Your words, your actions, your speech, your attitude, it's contaminating God's people. You know somebody trying to do right. Does it take all of that? I told you I'm trying to eat right. I'm uncuffed from the cake. And the first thing you offer me? And we do it with the right spirit. Wait, I mean, it's just a piece of cake. I just told you I was setting a standard in my life. And what you want me to do is to fail at the standard so you don't feel bad about yourself for not even making one in the first place. So I tell you that I'm working out, but you invite me to not go work out. I tell you that I'm trying to live pure and not have sex before I'm married, and you say, well, it's your birthday. It's the spirit of contamination that when we try to do something that aligns with God's word, there are people that will come in to speak words. I'm not saying go do it. I'm just saying it ain't the end of the world if you do. That is control and manipulation in a covert manner. It's how the serpent came to Adam and Eve. All he did was just try to suggest. Did he really say that? And I'm telling you right now that this spirit of contamination has been controlling so many people from doing what God has called them to do. And today, if you want to be uncuffed from this thing, today God is, through his word, going to reveal the truth. He's going to give you the ability to see it. Some of the people, warning, that you've been around, tomorrow you're going to see them differently because you're going to walk and you're going to see they're trying to manipulate me. They're actually trying to be in control of that situation. Nobody's been good enough in a relationship for me, because every time I get in a relationship, they tell me all the things that's wrong with them, not one thing that's right, because if I actually get in a relationship, that will change our dynamic. So instead of saying I have a toxic connection with you because you make me feel better about my issue, I'm just going to keep controlling everybody around you so that I can keep my space. I'm talking too real right now. And so the truth of the matter is, people don't understand that contamination doesn't take a lot. Contamination just takes a drop. See, today I'm confronting the subtle attack of covert control. Let me tell you what contamination means, like just dictionary. It's the action or state of making or being made impure by polluting or poisoning. If I told you that all of this water was good to drink, which all of it is, like right now, all of this water, good to drink, but I told you that I had a lab give me a little bit of poison. Compared to this, that's not a lot. And if I told you, hey, I want you to drink this water, but hold on one second. Let me just, No, I'll take the one that's filled most with the Spirit. The one that's been, the one that looks most filled up.
Overflow.
And I'm just going to put everybody say a drop. A drop of contamination. Uh-oh. Hold on, let me see. Let me see where it's at. Which one got it? Y'all set 50 of them up here, huh? Uh-oh. Hope I ain't get none of that on me. One drop, two drops, three drops, four drops. Now watch this. It looks like it's being contained. But slowly and surely. See, this is what contaminating relationships do to you. They still let you see what could have been. But they slowly but surely start to take up control. It doesn't even look like what it looked like 5 seconds ago. When you have contaminating conversations, you don't sound like you sounded 5 minutes ago. Have you ever talked to somebody who talked to somebody and you could tell something was different about how they felt about the situation you just talked about? It's on my team. Let me see. Did they get it? Show me something. I can't be up here talking with the red. Yeah, why? Well, come on, wipe it out. Am I gonna die? Is it gone? Do you see how quickly people who care about you come to get contamination off of your lips? It's so crazy that it was on my mouth. Because that's the primary place of contamination. Okay, let me help you. What comes out of me? What comes out of me? What comes out of me is the things that's defiling me. And that contamination now turns something that was very pure and very holy into something that now I don't know if anybody could ever partake in. And so what ends up happening is we get around other people and we like, I'm not going to let you contaminate me. Well, I don't really want to go fully in with the God thing. So I'm going to get something that won't affect as much of the color of it. It looks pretty clear. I mean, they still go to church. They still serve on the team. It don't look like that. So we start comparing contamination. Well, I mean, she got three kids, I mean, before the age of, and at least my first baby was, we was together for 6 weeks. Are you? No, we do. Come on, y'all. Well, my kids, I mean, they bad, but they not crackheads. I have heard people in church. It's not as contaminated as them, so it must be clean. No. And this is bleach. If I drink this, even though it looks more pure, this is why I have to let you know that it's very dangerous territory to be in, to be judging people. Because what looks pure on its own may not be. And the crazy thing about it is, no matter how much of God I pour into the thing that's already contaminated. Well, I'm going to go to church or I'm a servant. It doesn't matter how much I pour in to the thing that's already contaminated. One drop of contamination has now made everything that this could be something that's dangerous for others. Write it down in a point. It only takes a drop of poison to contaminate your point. It only takes a drop of poison to contaminate your purpose. A drop. Some of y'all have people around you every time you tell them your dreams. They're telling you why it can't happen.
Well, who got the money for that?
Obviously not you. Like, what are you... Every time you talk to them about, this is my last relationship, and I'm a being that's going to be abusive. They're like, we'll see. Well, God gave me this burden and this passion to start this ministry. I hope it works. What? Where's the support? Where's the faith? And the truth of the matter is, so many of us are allowing contamination into our hearts and minds because they're disguised as people we love. Oh, this is where it's going to be really rough for a lot of us. Okay, let me just keep going. Let's go back to the garden. How did the devil try to control and confuse? It was through contamination. Let me give you the three costumes of contamination. There's three costumes that people put on. People put these on, okay? The first one is side comments. People have no actual opinion or investment in something, but they always have a side comment. They may be working in the spirit of contamination. You going to that church again? Like, I wasn't even talking to you about going to church. I just told you I had to get ready to go. It's Sunday. You going to that church again? Nobody asked you for that side comment. Where did that come from? A spirit who's trying to control your calling. But not overtly. They didn't say, you don't need to go to that church. You going to that church again? Do y'all see how covert, how undercover? And I know some of y'all getting tight booty right now because it's you. I'm going to deal with you in a second. I'm trying to talk general to everybody, but you're the one. It's like Job's wife seeing all the crap that Job was going through. And then she gives the most deadly side comment of all. Why don't you just curse God and die? What? That was the side, that was what you, after us both losing our children, after us both losing our, you know what I've been through, and you go,
his wife.
Watch people who always have side comments. I'm trying to give you practical tips right now. And the people with side comments are the people you love. It's the people you trust. It's the people that are around. Evaluate. Look at your neighbor and say, evaluate. Second thing. I got so much to go through. Okay. Second costume of contamination. Sarcastic concerns. People who have sarcastic. Oh, y'all not doing okay? Only reason you said that is because you want me to spill my guts about the issues we're going through so that you can go back to the water cooler and tell everybody where we at. You don't care about me. But like dum-dums, we'd be like, yeah, let me just tell you what happened last night. But I'm telling you, people who always have sarcastic concerns, they may be working in the spirit of contamination. They're trying to find out things about you that they're going to at some moment use against you. Prime example in the Bible, Delilah. Y'all remember Delilah? She was always asking Samson, why won't you just tell me? Just tell me. Just tell me. No, that's what they'll do. They'll use everything they got. Oh, y'all don't hear me. They will tempt, manipulate, do what you like, be where you're at, lay where you lay.
I'm in your business right now.
But their whole intent is to find out what can forfeit your calling. Delilah's there. I'm just so mad at you. If you read that story, I just want to slap Samson. I'm just like, fool, get up. like, I just read. Because he's sitting there playing with the enemy. And some of y'all are so prideful that you keep playing with the enemy. You think you're so strong that you can lay down and spoon with her. You think you're so strong that you can keep going and doing those things. And God said, you better stop playing with the enemy. That spirit of contamination is trying to rob your calling. He lays down and then she puts a guilt trip on him because that spirit of contamination always tries to use guilt. You're treating me like everybody else. I thought we had something special. I thought there was a... And he literally, she literally says, why won't you tell me? And that boy finally tells her, hey man, it's my hair. Not supposed to cut my hair. She had already attempted several times. And then he finally tells her, this man spends the rest of his life without power. What used to define him now has destroyed him. Because he allowed that spirit of contamination to be around him. Third one, I gotta get out of here, y'all. But the third costume of contamination is cynical questions. People will not say statements. They'll ask you questions that have ill intent. Did God really tell you to move to that city? Are you really supposed to be given in that crazy faith offering? They put the word crazy in it. Yeah. Just sounds crazy to me. They never ask you when you spend thousands of dollars on shoes and boats. They don't care when you take them to restaurants and you eat steaks and shrimp. But at the moment, you're doing something that goes against something that they think. Cynical questions. Parents do this all the time. I'm not even gonna get on your parents right now because you'll turn into them. But we do it all the time. You sure you're supposed to go to that college? Name me one successful person who came from there. This one goes all the way back to the garden. What did Satan say to Adam and Eve? He didn't even say nothing. He asked them a question. Did God really say? It was a cynical question that was the covert control of the only man and woman on the earth that the enemy used. And all he did not even have to overthrow them or take over or conquer. All he had to do was contaminate. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but some of you have been cuffed to contamination. And let me say it even more plainly, you've been cuffed to people who are committed to contaminating your calling. Well, that's my bestie. I mean, we've been through, when I lost my dog, they was there. When I lost my bed, they was there. And they don't need to be there for the next thing. Because you may forfeit what God has called you to do because you've been cuffed to people who are committed to contaminating what God told you to do. Yeah. Okay, let's just keep going. 1 Corinthians 15:33. I feel the Spirit's trying to make me back up. I bet you I ain't. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts, contaminates, controls good character. All of these things were good and pure in the beginning. And it was just a little bit of contamination that turned them into useless. Do not go from useful to useless because of somebody else's contamination. Oh my God, that's coming straight out the Spirit. Yeah. Let me just ask a real question. You don't have to raise your hand, just blink three times. How many people in this room know they're around somebody or people who could potentially contaminate your calling? Somebody, the woman says, she just lifts her hand up. She's like, I ain't gonna blink. I don't know if you can see me. I'm not saying they have yet, or that they are. But you know they have the potential. Like the one friend that every time you and your spouse have a disagreement, they say, leave them. Hold on, what? Every time? He just didn't give me the Chick-fil-A sauce. I'm mad. Like, I'm really mad, actually, because this chicken ain't right without the sauce. But y'all know how it be, but leave him, girl. The friend that every time is trying to introduce you to the other chick, you know I'm married. You know I'm struggling. Hey, have you met, and it's been 7 attempts and you haven't fallen yet, but they have the potential to contaminate. You've been serving in your spot with the right attitude. And then somebody comes along and be like, they don't pay you for that yet? I wasn't even thinking about it, but God has blessed me on this side. Well, I mean, somebody with your caliber and your training, I'm not even saying nothing. If anybody says I'm not even saying nothing, I'm not even saying nothing, but all I'm saying is write this down in a point. Keeping contamination close will corrupt your calling. If you keep it close, at some point, at some moment, you're going to need to make the right decision. You're going to go to the wrong person and they're going to convince you. I'm just telling you right now that there are people in this room right now that are being controlled by somebody not in this room right now. Oh my God. Oh my God. There is somebody listening to me right now that is in full puppet mode. You're in full puppet mode by somebody who don't even live in the same state as you. Been years of drops. Woo! Been dropping knowledge on you for years. Dropping their opinion on you for years. Dropping their conspiracy theories on you for years. And just somehow every year you start looking a little darker. You're just a little more pessimistic. When God says something, it takes just a little bit longer for you to believe. God pours something in, it don't even look like anything happened. It's because keeping contamination close will corrupt your calling. Because contamination, all it wants to do is control. I said those three things, those costumes, side comments, sarcastic concerns, and cynical questions. I want you to know those are all contaminants. But the goal of contamination, write this point down, is control. But the spirit behind it is the spirit of Jezebel. I'm going to say that one more time. The goal of contamination is control. But the spirit behind anything that wants to be control of your life is the spirit of Jezebel. Oh, come on, talk about it. Be quiet. You might not know that you working in it. Let me explain this, because church has made this a super hype moment. I call out the spirit of Jezebel. What do that even mean? Like most people, as I grew up in church, before I actually studied the Bible, because I was just in church, I thought the spirit of Jezebel was just a pretty woman. Somebody's like, me too? You see a pretty woman in a room, she's operating in the spirit of Jezebel. It's like, oh my God, let me get away from her. No, you're just insecure and mad because she is beautiful. And so you want to, let me stop. We don't even know what the spirit of Jezebel is. And I ain't never heard no man have the spirit of Jezebel. Because spirits are genderless. And we always talking about women with the spirit of Jezebel. You done confused story. You think Bathsheba is Jezebel. You don't even know. He was like, did it cause David to fall? No. There's an Old Testament Jezebel, a New Testament Jezebel. But when Jesus confronts this spirit and Elijah confronts this spirit, it's talking about the spirit behind the person named Jezebel. Yes. Yes. And that spirit desires control. It desires to contaminate from a back seat. Have you ever been in a car with a backseat driver? No, turn right here. Like, are you going to that? Ah, break. Natalie, Diane, Ty, if you do not, I'd be asking my wife, do you want to drive? Because I can't take this. But I want you to think about that in your actual life. Somebody that don't want to be in the driver's seat, but wants to dictate every turn. Somebody that doesn't want the responsibility of actually being in control, but actually wants to control you. It's the spirit of Jezebel. And today I'm going to explain it not as a hype moment in service, but as a habit in many of our lives. That spirit of Jezebel works as a habit in many of our lives to manipulate and control anybody who is in power. Revelation chapter 2. Some people just got mad at me. I don't care. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Thyatira. This is the message from the Son of God, whose eyes are like flames of fire, whose feet are like polished bronze. Revelation chapter 1 and 2. This is Jesus talking, okay? It says, I know all the things you do. He comes to congratulate these people first. I have seen your love, your faith, and your service, and your patient endurance, my God, it's commendable. And I can see your consistent improvement in all these things. If the verse stopped right there and Jesus was telling me all this, I'd be like, man, that is really, really special. Thanks, Jesus. Verse 20, but I have this complaint against you. You, with all your faith, all your love, all your service, all your patient endurance, are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. Beware if everybody that comes around you who has to label themselves. Her name was Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. If somebody needs a title to be able to function, that ain't even really a part of my message, but it just jumped out at me. Beware, you allow this spirit to lead my servants astray or to eliminate the closeness. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols. Let me say it another way. To be cuffed to things that they love that don't love them back. She teaches them that that's okay. Verse 21, I gave her time to repent. Some of y'all be like, why don't God just deal with this? He's a lot of time giving the people time to repent. But she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Therefore, I will throw her on the bed of suffering. And those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly unless they repent. So it's not just being or operating in the spirit of Jezebel, is if you allow or permit it to operate with you and you don't repent, you get the same consequence. This is why I came to tell you to uncuff from that contaminating spirit that is the spirit of Jezebel who wants to control you in the background. You gotta uncuff, because if you don't, you suffer the consequences too. I will strike her children dead. That means anything that was supposed to produce will be fruitless. Then all of the churches will know that I am the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person. And I will give to each of you whatever you deserved. We gotta uncuff from this spirit of contamination. Write this down about the spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel is not a person. It's a spirit working in a person. I need everybody to hear me say this. All my life, it's like, she got that Jezebel. Look at her old Jazzy. Stop that. It is a good person who is being controlled by a bad spirit. The Bible tells us that the enemy is looking for an open door to enter into people's life. Oh, you talking about like demon possession and devils and all? Yes. Because it's real. And some of you have been so comfortable with your devils. You serving with them. You sitting here with them right now. The attitude that you've got, that's not your spirit man fighting the word of God. Oh my gosh. So some of the things that are happening in your body, in your family, in your stuff, it's not, it's because there was an open door to the enemy that you let him have a foothold, and that baby done sit in, stretched out, and he controls you day. Y'all ever seen Men in Black where that thing gets inside the... That's what you look like. You're possessed. And what does the word possessed mean? Controlled. You want to respond right, but attitude comes out. Have you ever said something, you're like, that wasn't me? She said, yes, every day, I don't know. Like, but the truth of the matter is, it's real. And many of us, this needs to be an eviction Sunday. I don't know, somebody over here needs to hear me. For many of us, this needs to be an eviction Sunday. Anything in my life that is not like God, every thought, every devil, every desire, that is not, I'm preaching right now. It has to go. Problem is, you've been cuffed to the comfort of it. You like being able to have that little attitude. Y'all know when we say stuff like this, they better not push me past my limit. Because after they push me past my limit, I just black out. I don't even know what's going to happen. Yeah, I'm But one of the fruits of the Spirit is self. Which one is it? Which one is it? Unless there's something that has crept into your life, who you allow to be there, who you have the authority to evict, but you have decided to let it stay.
So good, PM.
You know how people be like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I don't really got no place to stay right now. I just be couch surfing. And I'll be thinking about that like in my head for real, because I've never actually done it before. But like for people to stay at somebody's house on the couch for 9 months, like all your stuff right here in my living room, every single good morning, what usually happens that breaks that up is that person gets so comfortable in there that they start taking control of things that were not supposed to be under their control. So you come in your house and you want to chill, but they got people over. Takes your breath away. How you don't live here, but now invited somebody else to my home? That's what devils do. If you let them stay, they invite their friends. Oh my gosh. That's how you start off lying. You let lions stay on the couch for a little bit. And then perversion comes because it calls them and says, hey, no, we found a plate. We found a spot. They'll let you go in the refrigerator. They'll do whatever they got to do. I know it's uncomfortable for some of y'all because it's been years, decades. And now you have roommates that you never wanted. Depression on the kitchen counter. Anxiety on the toilet. Always got to use the bathroom. Perversion has made its way into your bed. And now you cuddled up on the side of the bed trying not to touch perversion. just on the side, just squeezed. It's time for an eviction. And it starts with the spirit of Jezebel that works in people, okay? So write this down. The spirit of Jezebel comes to attack who, Pastor Mike? Leaders. It cannot function without somebody that has leadership. Okay. Oh, God. I know this is going to make some people uncomfortable, but okay, watch this. So Ahab was the leader at the time. Old Testament Jezebel was controlling. He was a king. She wasn't. She actually was just one of his wives. But she got close to him and started manipulating, controlling, and teaching him how she wanted the kingdom reign. And her closeness to him made him do some really horrible things. But nobody could find out who was actually doing it. It was the contamination spirit of Jezebel behind the king. If you are in any type of leadership, what does leadership mean, Pastor Mike? You have influence over others. So if you're a mom, you're a leader. If you have one person following you at your daycare, you're a leader. If you're a husband, you're a leader. If you work in church, you're a leader. If whatever you do, and oh, the enemy's so smart, he doesn't want to just come after leaders. He wants to come against future leaders. So because God has put a call on your life, that's why the spirit of Jezebel tries to get you when you're young. But the spirit of Jezebel has to be, everybody say this word with me, allowed. The king could have literally said, get out of my presence. But there was something about her that he was comfortable with. And his comfort became the thing that controlled him. And now I need every leader in here to know that it's so important we deal with this right now, because it's coming to attack you and make your leadership powerless. Okay? People were more scared of Jezebel than they were Ahab. Oh, God, help me. There are people that may be around you trying to contaminate your leadership because God sees you in this great role doing all these amazing things. And the enemy is trying to get somebody in there who has just enough clout, just enough influence, just enough connection with you to contaminate what he said. And those people become more powerful than you in your position. But if you don't allow it, it cannot function. Okay. God, write this down. The attack lasts as long as you allow it. Jezebel can only function as long as you allow it. This is why in the church context, if I feel or see anybody trying to use money to manipulate something, I've told people straight up, business people that wanted to meet with me, Pastor Mike, we have something for you. We want to bless the church with this large sum. Go ahead and take a look at it. I hand it to somebody. I don't even look at it. Why? Because I don't want you to think for one second that anything you put in dollars and cents is going to get you a say-so about what happens in this house. Scott, am I telling the truth, Scott? Mo, am I telling the truth? There are people who hand me, I flew all the way from Mobika, Africa to hand you this man of God. I don't. Here. Thank you so much for your consistent da da da, and I'll love on him. I said, I don't want to be influenced. I don't want nobody to have any type of say so and control over what God's doing and saying in my life. I will not let you contaminate the calling that is on my life. Somebody needs to get an attitude. I will not let you contaminate the calling that's on my life. I will not be a pure vessel that will be counted as impure because of your contamination. And can I let you know that spirit rests on TV shows and music? Oh, because I talked about people. But there are certain spirits that rest on certain programming. You always want to have sex after you watch that series? What do you think that is? They're creative. their creative cinematography. No. There was a spirit and an intent on the inside when they created that thing. And now it's got you sitting in your room at 1 o'clock in the morning, hot and bothered. Who's up? What's going on? And then if you call that one friend or that one person who knows you took a vow of purity but is okay with a little bit of contamination, 9 months later, wham. I'm not, y'all, this is how it happens. Jesus. Okay. The spirit of Jezebel, I just got to keep going because I feel you. I know some people, they, should I leave? Should I tune off? I'm telling you, if you sit through the rest of this message, somebody is going to get free today. Okay. Let me help you. The spirit of Jezebel comes to, watch this, discredit, exaggerate, and has a disposition of disagreement. So anytime you see this spirit, I'm trying to teach you how to recognize it. Anybody that comes in, they always discredit everybody else. They don't really know what they're talking about. What? I mean, how they know? Like, there's always this thing that tries to make what anybody else says or what you have decided seem like it doesn't have as much merit as it needs to. Second thing, they always exaggerate. No, everybody was saying it. No, I'm telling you. Everybody told me. Everybody told you. You only know five people. How did everybody tell you? No, come on, y'all. Anytime that people come and they're like, I'm just telling you, if you do this, you're going to lose everything. Everything? But somehow in that moment, you start believing this spirit of exaggeration. And listen to the last thing. It has a disposition of disagreement. This covert thing is just to tell everybody to line up. And it's like, why we gotta line up? Hey, I need everybody to come at this time. They're not gonna be ready at that time. It's like this, it's like I'm just stuck in the disdain of just being difficult. And what they're trying to do is use their difficulty to make leaders back up. Well, maybe I do need to change it. No, God told you to do it like that. If they come or they don't come, it's okay. God's coming. But the problem is people try to measure if God was in it by the participation of people. Let me help you. The win is obedience. The win is not participation. If God tells you to do it and nobody shows up and the fact that you did it means that you won because I obeyed God. But that spirit of Jezebel make you come to think, see, I told you, it wasn't a success. You spent $3,000 and made $300. I'm just saying. Let me tell you what all of this is. These are all attempts to isolate. Leaders, listen to me. Every leader, if you just lead because your cousins listen to you at Thanksgiving, whoever you are, leaders. Y'all know that's the truth. A lot of things that I really desired in my life is because I had these cousins that I thought was cool. And at Thanksgiving, they would tell me what they was into. And I would literally go back, come back to Tulsa and live my life trying to be my cousins. Because they had influence over me. Leaders, listen to me. The spirit of Jezebel comes to discredit and to have disagreement and exaggerate. It's all an attempt to isolate the leader's decision-making ability so that they have, that person has the most influence in their life. So what the spirit of Jezebel comes to discredit everybody else, disagree with everybody else, exaggerate that everybody else is against, so that now the leader isolates and they're the only person there with them. Now, I wouldn't do that if I was you. Well, you are the one that stays with me. You have been here through everything. You always been ride or die. Well, just make sure before you make the decision, call me and let me know what you're going to do before you do it. So I can just make sure, watch this. So I can just make sure how I can agree with you in prayer. Yeah, I need my intercessors to be praying right now. I'm fighting spirits right now. Don't be covering up your messy gossip and your spirit trying to, like, I just need to, just let me know what's happening so I can, you know what I'm saying, I can be agreeing with you. I'm not trying to agree with you. They're trying to just be in control just enough to direct, covertly, not overtly. You would, half of these people I'm talking about, if the people who are around you wouldn't even know who they are. It's that undercover. I'll say it in a point. The spirit of Jezebel isolates for influence. If you've ever found yourself in a place where the solid voices that were around you are very faint, and there's this one or two people who you look at the results of their life and it's a mess, but somehow they know everything. It'd be confusing me how people with nothing feel like they have the best advice for you. If I was leading a church, you ain't leading nothing. I can't believe they was closed during COVID. If I was, nobody trust you. Like, it'd be tripping me out. Like, I wouldn't do music if I was you can't sing, play, you can't do nothing. We know that's not even an option for you. But somehow, people who don't play the game know what shot should have been taken in the fourth quarter. It'd be tripping me out. People be at the game like, LeBron, you suck! You suck! And it's like, bro, you've not played on high school basketball team. But the truth of the matter is, these are the same fans in our lives that are commenting day after day on our decisions, that are influencing, and many of them have never walked the road of faith that we're are walking on, okay? Remember, the reason I gotta say this isolation piece real quick is that spirit of Jezebel isolates for influence, because remember what I told you last week, control kills collaboration. If the people around you never want you to collaborate with anybody, warning, there may be the spirit of contamination on them, okay? So I gotta talk to very quickly the people who operate in this spirit. And I'm gonna be very direct, because let me say it like this. You can be gracious with people, you cannot be gracious with the spirit. I just need to be very clear with this. If this spirit is operating in your church, in your business, in your household, you can be gracious with the person, but not the spirit. It is trying to kill your calling. It is trying to destroy your life. And it is trying to control things that only God was meant to control. Let me be very, the six seeds of Jezebel's spirit. These are the seed forms of how Jezebel kind of shows themselves and how they're birthed. And I need you to just watch these in people. I'm not saying everybody that you think is a person that they's working in the spirit of Jezebel. No, some people just immature, okay? Some people are still just growing and they maybe don't need that. But I need you to be aware of these things. The people, like, who work in the spirit of Jezebel, one of the top things all of them have is very strong insecurities. They don't know their own identity, so they work through controlling other people who see more in their purpose. So somebody who, as long as they got influence with that person, they're going to be okay. Second one, most every person who walks in this spirit of Jezebel has dealt with some very severe form of rejection. I don't have time to break all of these down because of time. But let me say this. Jezebel dealt with these two very strongly. OT, Old Testament Jezebel, insecurity and rejection. If you study Jezebel's story out, she was rejected by her father. And the only reason that she got connected with Ahab is because she was given to him in a trade, a treaty, to have more land and have peace. She didn't want to be with Ahab, but her father rejected her and gave her to a different kingdom. And she was raised by a very dominant mother. She became the child of what she was birthed in. So insecurity and rejection, watch this, wounded her. What I'm saying to anybody that operates in the spirit of Jezebel, I understand you are wounded. And now this is an illegitimate attempt to control everything around you so you never get hurt again. When people are wounded, they don't want to feel that rejection again, so they feel like they have to control every person and circumstance around them. And this is what I came to tell you. If you're operating in this spirit, your unhealed wounds can become a weapon. Why are we saying uncuff from all these things? Because if you don't deal with these unhealed wounds, the things that have made you hurt, and now you got these defense mechanisms, and now anybody comes close to you, you're doing all of these things. If you do not deal with them, your wounds become a weapon. You'll use them on your kids. You'll use them on your boss. You'll use them on your wife. You'll use them on your husband. You're defending yourself from never experiencing it again, and it becomes a weapon to everybody you say you love. Golly, I'd stay there all day. This is why we get in counseling. This is why we come to the house of God. This is why we do community. One of my friends, Will, was telling me about when Pastor Aaron and Bree, they got up here and so bravely shared their story and brought so much healing. He said the next week at their men's B group, it was like the walls of wailing men opened up. Everybody was telling the things that they were going through, the things they were struggling with, the vulnerabilities they'd never shared with anybody. People started crying that ain't cried in decades. Why? It's because they felt safe to start dealing with their wounds. And I need you to know the healing for your wounds does not come from the pastor. If I could just get Pastor Mike to pray for me, you don't need me to pray for you. You need to get in community with people. And the Bible says in James, he says that the healing comes when you confess your sins one to another. Peer to peer. Messed up person to messed up person. He said, and then we pray, and that's when healing comes. But if nobody even knows that you're wounded, your wound turns into a weapon. Let me just say the last ones. The six seeds of Jezebel, I told you, insecurity, rejection, pride, arrogance, manipulation, control. If anybody walks in those things, watch out. Because that may be operating in a spirit of Jezebel that's trying to control. And I got to say this. There are a lot of... Let me be very specific. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There are a lot of adult children who are still being manipulated by the spirit of Jezebel. You're 36 years old, and you literally are being controlled by a mom or a dad or an auntie, and their opinion of you or their approval of you or their acceptance of you in a certain way that is not godly or in concordance with your purpose. They say stuff like, oh, we just want the best for you. You've never even prayed about it. You've never even prayed about it. It's just not your preference. And they use that as a manipulation tactic. I'm telling people right now, it's time to uncuff from that. Who does this spirit of Jezebel attack? I already told you leaders, but what attracts the Jezebel spirit? You got to know this. You got to know this. What attracts it? Three things: anointing, resources, and influence. If God's hand has been on you for something, you can literally be somebody who sows. And if you become like an awesome sower, an anointed sower, God's like, yeah, I made them to do that. People will start trying to connect to you because God has approved you in an area. That's all anointing means. It's God's approval on something. If God's approval is on it, it's going to be way better than if you do it without him. Anointing. That's why people who sing, some of these people, the foulest people in the world, but somebody can open up their mouth and sing, and you'd be like, I just want them. Why? That's why the platform, I always tell people, man, this ain't where you want to be unless God's called you to be here. Because this place, it makes people, it's like a light that like bugs is attracted to. You know, y'all ever seen the light? They just, I don't know why I'm going here. It kills them. Why does that happen? It's because people think that somehow this makes you not you. The platform is just a raised version of who you actually are. So what attracts the Jezebel spirit? Anointing, resources, and influence. Let me say it in a very plain way, okay? What attracts the spirit of Jezebel? Respect, money, and fame. If you have respect in an area, there will be people that will come close to you for the sole purpose of trying to contaminate what God's called you to do. If you got a little bit of money, you can be ugly with money, dumb with money. I have so many examples in my head. But you, it doesn't matter. You ever seen, never mind. Whatever you thought, yes. Okay. And then fame. Social media got, because you can. Like, there are grown people doing, like, no, that literally are being held in higher esteem than educators. Why though? I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with influencing. No, I'm saying, if you are there, beware of people. You know what you should do? You know what I would do with that if I was you? You know, you really need to get out there and like do some more appearances. And you know God told you here was holy. He spoke a word to you, but now because of, they're always trying to position themselves. Why? It's because all of those things are the opposite of what the spirit of Jezebel actually wants and does not have. So they want anointing because they're insecure. They want resources because money equals power and they don't have power. And they really like fame and influence because they just want to be accepted. Okay. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. It says, I have been given all authority. This is Jesus in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. I told you last week, we don't need to take control. All we have to do is borrow God's authority. This is why I don't need to take control of anything. I just need to borrow God's authority. Let me say it to you like this. Real leadership does not take control. It just borrows God's authority. I don't gotta be in charge of everything. Just the things that God gives me authority to lead, I'm gonna lead it full throttle. And I don't have to be manipulated or in control by anybody else. See, this is how, like, real leadership borrows God's authority. I wanna show you a picture. That's how Elijah, you remember when he called down the fire from heaven and he literally is in front of the entire country. They call out 400 prophets and then 450 more prophets. And they was like, call on your gods. And they slashing their arms and calling on their gods. And Elijah's like, y'all let me know when y'all get done, because then I'm going to borrow some of my authority that was given from God. He going to burn this thing up. He says, God, do that thing. And then he's like, whoosh. And then it like blows up. And everybody like, shoot. And then all of the prophets, 850 of them die. Okay. This is the MLT version, the Michael Living Translation. And then, look what happens. Most people don't connect this. The next thing that happens after God does this amazing miracle in Elijah, the prophet's life, is he gets confronted by the spirit of Jezebel. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1-3. I'm almost done, y'all. Now Ahab, who was the king at the time, when now all his 850 prophets just get burnt up. Okay? Now Ahab tells Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel, not Ahab, not the king, not the leader. So Jezebel sent a message.
Huh?
To Elijah, the prophet.
Huh?
May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. I'ma burn you up, boy. That's what she said. She sent him a letter and said, I'ma burn you up, boy. That's what it says. Now watch this. Elijah, the strong prophet, does all these miracles. And then look what the next thing it says in verse 3. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. You just made the biggest barbecue in history out of 850. And one woman with the ear of the leader made you run afraid? Oh, Jesus. When does the spirit of Jezebel attack? At the start of something and after a great victory. Two examples. I can't even go into it. God, I got to get out of here. Okay. Yeah, everybody that has to go, just sit down. This is so powerful. The enemy does not want me to finish this, but I'm going to plow all the way through it. Here we go. Okay, listen. The spirit of Jezebel attacks at the start of something. When Nehemiah went to go rebuild the wall. Sanballat and Tobiah were trying to get him at the start of something. They were trying to get him to come down off the wall. And what did he say? I will not stop building this wall. That spirit of influence was trying to get him to stop. And then in this particular moment right here, right after a great victory that Elijah comes, the spirit of Jezebel comes to attack him. Okay. I'm really just like perplexed. Elijah now, this great man of God, is now running afraid because somehow he forgot that the same God that did it the day before could do it again. And Ahab, maybe the saddest thing about this is Ahab is the victim because he allows her to use his leadership to dictate what happens under his rule. Parents, if you're allowing a child to dictate the marriage that you and your spouse have. No, this is real stuff that happens, y'all. Boss, if there's that one coworker that you know you need to correct, but you keep correcting everybody because you're afraid to deal with the one person, I'm in your business right now. Everybody knows who it is. But you won't deal with just that person? Then you suffer the consequences that come at the end of this. Let me just say it like this. Let me get out of here. This attack of contamination and control always comes from, watch this, someone close. It ain't a stranger that comes with the spirit of Jezebel. It's covert. It's someone close. It's someone that has influence in your life. It's someone who's a bestie. It's someone who you respect and honor. It's people who may have helped you become who you are. And now after you become who you are, now they just want a little piece of control. Oh, I can make them do that. So what do I do? Well, if you are under the influence of this spirit of Jezebel or this spirit of contamination, you stop tolerating it. Today. It's over. Not another day. I told you before, you can be gracious with a person, but not the spirit. If you have been allowing the spirit of Jezebel to contaminate and have control, three things you need to do. Number one, resist. Yes. Some of us won't even resist it. Yeah. We welcome it. Tell me what you think. There's some people that don't need to know your next move. Because all they're going to do is try to manipulate and see how it will benefit them. But what if the next and the rest of my life has nothing to do with you? Will you still be my friend? Will you still pray for me? But it's, oh no, it's only if I can advance you in some way. The Bible says, resist the enemy and he will flee. The greatest thing that many of us could do is just resist. No. If you don't have anything good to say about this situation and you don't want to pray for me in this situation, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Well, just hear me out. No. You have a track record of bringing down anything I get excited about in God. No. Resist. And look what they'll do. They'll flee. Oh my gosh. Okay. Second thing, rebuke them. Now, I know this is not a term that we use all the time, but I'm not saying rebuke them, rebuke the spirit in them. Yeah. Yes. That spirit of Jezebel is the same spirit that Satan operated in when he tried to take control of heaven. Who has the unmitigated goal to try to take over heaven? Lucifer did. And all, he was so crafty at his job to contaminate that he convinced 1/3 of the angels to go with him. Now, if angels who worshiping around the throne every day, holy, 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 can be contaminated, you ain't got no choice. They seen God for real. Don't think too highly of it. Rebuke them. The Bible says, that, I believe it was Zechariah that said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. One of the most powerful phrases is, in the name of Jesus, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Y'all, I have been in moments where I've been attacked by certain things. I've been going, and all I could get out of me is, in the, not your name. I'm borrowing authority right now. Not in my control. I don't say in the name of Michael, but I say in the name of Jesus. Satan, I rebuke you. There is power in using the authority that God has given you. Third thing, if you have been allowing the spirit of Jezebel to contaminate and have control, remove that person from any personal influence with you. This is usually the hardest one. But you cannot. If I find out that there's a spirit of Jezebel in this church, we're going to remove it. Like, I'm so sorry, you can't be here. Not the Bible. They've done, yes, it is the Bible. We got to remove. If there's somebody in your friend circle and they not going, I guess you don't go no more. Like, they don't want to leave. Let me say it better so you can understand. They don't want to leave that community. Then it means you must leave it. Because if you play with it, it has the opportunity to cancel out your own calling. Resist, rebuke, remove. Say it with me. Resist, rebuke, remove. One more time. Resist, rebuke. Remove. Okay, now watch this. If you have been working in the spirit of Jezebel, nobody's going to stand up and raise their hand, but there are thousands of people under the sound of my voice that have been behind the scenes controlling and manipulating situations covertly through contamination. I know that was a lot of C's, but you felt all of them. If that's you, the scripture was very clear. You have one R word to do. Repent. No, listen. He said, I was trying to give Jezebel time to repent, but she was unwilling to turn. Today, if you've been working in that spirit, I want to give you this is really why I took all this time to get to this message. If you are walking in that spirit, today, God's given you an opportunity with understanding to repent. turn to say, I no longer want to be in control of anything. I want to be close to God, and I don't want to feel like I have to control the situation. The holidays are about to come up. This is prime breeding ground for the spirit of Jezebel. Well, they not coming. They not coming this year. Well, what they think they doing? Well, see if I come to their baby shower. If they don't come to my I'm telling y'all, there is so much silent, covert manipulation that happens around the holidays. There's a husband, a first-year husband right now trying to figure out how he's telling his wife they not going to their family's Christmas this year. Because if I'm not at my mama's house at 6 p.m., she gonna kill me. What, she not gonna be your mama no more? The Bible says to leave and cleave. There's just so many things. But the truth of the matter, there's a covert spirit of manipulation. And God's saying, would you uncuff from that? If you're in this room, everybody just stand up. I'm gonna just, because you're in one of both of those categories. I ain't gonna put nobody on blast today. Just stand up. At your home, just stand up. If you have been in any of your area controlled by the spirit of Jezebel and contamination, or you've been operating in it, I wanna pray for you. Right now, would you just lift your hands? Y'all, we about to go home in a second. I just need everybody to chill out for 1 second, because somebody's about to get their deliverance. Father, here we are today. Father God, if we have been allowing this spirit, today we're making a decision that it stops. We are putting an eviction notice on everything that has come to covertly control us. Whether it was from childhood, Father, or something we've picked up recently. Today, Father, we repent and we surrender. And we ask you to give us the courage to cut off or uncuff from everything that has come to contaminate our calling. Every relationship, every television show, every social media feed, every influencer, Father God. Today, Father, we're asking that you would clean us from the inside out and allow us to be controlled only by your spirit. The spirit of truth. The spirit that was given by Jesus to lead and guide us into all truth. We do not need to be controlled if we're being guided and led by the one who's in control. Father, today we make a commitment to stay close. And Father, for every person that is in this room that knows they've been operating in this manipulative spirit of contamination and control, today, Father God, you said in your word, if we would repent, you would be faithful and just to forgive us. So today, Father, for any of us and all of us who have worked and walked in that, today, God, we're asking, forgive us. Today, we decide to turn. We will no longer use our words to tear people down. We will no longer use our presence to silently control things. Father, we will no longer use our bodies to manipulate moments. We will no longer, Father, use our connections and our resources, Father God, to try to contort things into the way we want it. Today, we are giving you our whole life anew and afresh. And Father God, we're asking that spirit no longer have a hold or an open door in our life. We rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And we declare that freedom would reign in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds and in our family. I break the back of manipulation over families and households, over husbands and wives, over businesses, over staffs. I pray in this church that every spirit of manipulation from the usher, Father God, to the executive team, we break it in the name of Jesus. We will no longer tolerate it or allow it to be comfortable in this house. We are uncuffed from the spirit of contamination. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable before you, God. Today, we are being delivered from the spirit of Jezebel. We thank you for your grace and your word who makes all this possible. And we thank you that no lie of the enemy can steal the seed of revelation that you have given us today.
we are free. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
If you believe it, let's give God a shout of praise. Come on, this is a shout of freedom. Hallelujah! Listen to me. If you are in this place, you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, today you get to walk in full freedom. I don't care who you are, what you've gone through. Today, God wants to offer you the thing that took me from being a liar, a manipulator, somebody who was addicted to pornography, somebody who had a felony case, somebody who was trying to covertly control everything. And it didn't turn me into a perfect man. It turned me into a progressing man. Today, I'm asking, if you are in this room, please, everybody, I know you got to leave, but you are distracting people right now. This is the whole reason we came. It's to see transformation in Christ. And I want you to not even be, I need everybody to hear me say this, even for the people who have to leave. We understand emergencies and all this. But there are some people that were sitting in this moment, and when you started moving, it gave them permission to move. And they're missing moments that God wants to change their life because you just got to get to the car. Yo, I'm telling y'all, I'm just telling you guys, be a participant in this moment. Because maybe your life has been changed, but somebody's still bound. I need you to be praying right now. I need people to be praying that those spirits that are fighting for people would just stay and be broken. If you're in this place and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I feel the presence of God right there. And you're saying, today I want to give up control and I want to give it to God. On the count of three, I just want you to lift your hands. Super simple. I'm not going to ask you to confess all your sins to me. All I'm saying is, you're saying, I'm giving up control and I want to let Jesus be the Lord of my life. One, two, three. Online, in the room. Look at the hands going up everywhere. I said, look at the hands going up. I see you. It's the greatest decision you're ever making. I see you. God sees you. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. At Transformation Church, we're a family. Nobody prays alone. Today is the best day of your life, bro. I'm telling you, everything doesn't change and become perfect, but you now walk with the perfect one. According to Romans 10:9, it doesn't call for perfect people. It just says, if you would believe and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, he died on the cross, you will be saved. Your eternity is secure, and now we're going to work on living your history out in a way that honors him. We're a family that's going to pray together online. I know there was hundreds of hands. If you're in agreement with faith with me, would you just pray this prayer? Everybody say, God, thank you for uncuffing me from sin. Today, I give you my life. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again just for me. Today, I admit I messed up, but I know that you have a purpose for me. So I give you control. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Can we celebrate? Heaven is turning up right now. Can we celebrate? Hallelujah! The enemy lost twice today. Souls have been saved, and we've gotten free from the spirit of Jezebel. God is in control. Hey, listen, if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to text the number on the screen, okay? And we want to help you. Get in a small group. All we want for you is to know God. We want you to grow. We want you to get in a group. We want you to learn how to give. We want you to gather with us, come back next week. We just want you to be everything that God wants you to be. Next week, God has given me a specific message that's going to a whole nother level, so get ready. Buckle up your seatbelts. But you may need to watch this message two or three times to be able to understand. Send it to people. Don't say nothing, though. Just send it. Thank you for letting this word get out. And I want you to share it with as many people as you can, because we're going to see people get uncuffed all over this world. Amen?
Amen?
Father, bless these people. Let them have the best week ever. And we declare that as we walk in freedom, not just have a moment of freedom, we walk in freedom. You will get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say, we agree. We expect. Amen. Go out and live a transformed life. I love y'all.
Hey, I want to take a moment again before we jump off and say thank you. Our church is not built on one individual, but on the sacrifice of so many. And you being a part, it means the world. So thanks for watching the message. I also want to say thank you to the thousands of people around the world who are generous. It means the world. And we are able to represent, we're able to be generous and meet the needs of people because of your giving. If you haven't taken the step to give, trust me, there is no pressure at all. But if you feel led, you can text the word give to 828282, or you can go online. When we partner together, God uses our generosity to make a difference. Again, if you haven't, take a moment to subscribe to the YouTube channel. And more than watching on YouTube, join us on Sundays. Every single Sunday we're here, 1045 CST AM. We would love to see you. And like we always say, go out and live a transformed life.